Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Some councils are auditing schools and urging a ban on the terms boy and girl.
For those who are in an open or polyamorous relationship, your relationships are holy.
A gay black woman's victim status is less than that of a black trans woman, who ranks below a black Muslim trans woman.
We don't want to just win the argument about sexuality. We want to use this as a gospel opportunity.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Time to go fishing.
Are you ready to go?
I want to turn it down. I like that thumping bass sound. Ray.
Yeah, you're like the guy in the car next to me that makes my car shake.
You know,
I can't hear the music. My car just shakes.
So we pulled up next to a guy in his car just the other day. I think I was with the three kids. This guy had the thing just shaking, right?
Yeah.
And he had his window down and he was car singing. And he didn't realize that he could be heard over the thumpy thump music. Now, normally you pull up next to somebody in their car singing. They've got the windows up and you just kind of look and laugh because it looks so funny.
Mm-hmm.
You could hear this guy. Oh, wow. It was rich. I was, oh, sir, please sit through the green light so we can listen to more.
So it was good.
Well, in a...
It was funny.
Let's just go to Trish, who's out in the streets right now.
Okay.
Where are you, Trish?
I'm practically on the street at a little snow cone place. They're kind of big out here. Hot day, hot humid day.
A little
day.
Snow cone, big out there.
Found a young couple, Chase and Sage, boyfriend and girlfriend. He's 16, she's 17. But I'm going to pass you off to Chase. I don't know too much about him.
Chase is the guy.
But we talked a little bit about movies. Talked about movies, asked him if there were certain movies that he wouldn't see. Talked a little bit about blasphemy. So he basically just says, you know, yeah, I've seen blasphemy, but I don't encourage it. And then I asked him, I said, what's your mom's name? He said, Susie. I said, would you ever see a movie that used your mom, Susie's name, as a four-letter cuss word? He goes, never. I'd never do that. So that's something to think about. They might talk to you about this with regards to God. So I'm just going
to
walk over here. He's
talk
done
to
with
him
the
about
snow
being
cone.
16 years old and having a girlfriend. Let's start right there.
Okay, here we go.
How did that sound?
Chase, you're live on the air.
How old are you, Todd?
Hello.
Hello. Chase.
Hey.
Chase, what do you do for a living? Or are you at school still?
I'm going to school at Keller High School.
What are you going to do when you leave?
Probably go to West Texas A&M and study engineering.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's great. I've been to Texas A&M. I didn't study there, but I did speak there once with a friend.
That's cool.
Yeah. So tell me what you believe about God. What do you think God's like?
I think God is just what you have to do, like, to believe in. You have to believe in God, and there's no other path. You just have to believe in Jesus and God.
So are you a Christian?
Yes, sir, I am.
Are you born again?
Yes, sir.
Oh,
yes, I've
good.
Been born again.
So tell me, why did you become a Christian? And if I wasn't a Christian, what would I get out of it?
Well, I became a Christian by my parents. They taught me... They've told me about the Bible and Jesus, and I've started going to church when I was about 4 or 5. And after 4 or 5 years of going to church, I realized that the only way to live is through Christ. And that's whenever I got baptized, was about 10 years old. And if you want to, I don't know, it's just...
If I wasn't a Christian and I said to you, if I said, Chase, why should I become a Christian? What would you say to me?
Why should you become a Christian? Because
yeah.
God is just what you need to believe in, and you can't, there's no other way of life. You need to believe in God, and only good things come from it.
Chase, what say I said to you, I believe in God, I pray every night, but I'm not born again. What would you say to me? Why do I need to believe like you believe?
You need to be born again because... You need to realize that Jesus died for our sins, and then you need to realize that and then come to the conclusion that you need to be born again to the life of Jesus.
Okay. What would happen to me if I die without Jesus?
If you die without Jesus, then you're not going to go to heaven. You're going to... I'm sorry, but you might go to hell. I mean, I'm not sure, but I'm not going to believe in that way. I mean, I think the only way to get to heaven is through Christ.
Okay. And now, do you ever use the Ten Commandments when you're sharing your faith with people?
Yes, I do.
Good. So you go through the commandments to show them they've sinned against God?
Not lately.
Not lately? How often do you share your faith?
Actually, never. I do it with friends all the time, like at school and stuff. But
oh, you do?
Yes.
Okay, why do you do it with your friends?
Because I can tell that they need help in their lives and that they're going through hard times and they haven't realized that God is the way to like go. You have to live with Jesus in your life or else there's no other way to get to heaven.
Chase, what do you do with people like your friends that don't need Jesus? They're quite happy, they're sleeping with a girlfriend, they've got a lot of money and there's nothing missing in their life. What would you tell them?
I don't know.
It'll paint you into a corner when you share your faith the way you are. I used to do that. I used to say to people, oh yeah, Jesus is what you're looking for in life. There's something missing. And I'd find friends that they say, there's nothing missing in my life. I'm enjoying the pleasures of sin. Thank you very much. So what I started doing was looking at what Jesus did. And he didn't say, become a Christian because there's something missing in your life. He said, you need to repent because you're under God's wrath and you've sinned against him. And the way to know you've sinned is to look to those Ten Commandments. And if you've looked with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. And the Bible says if you hate someone, you've committed murder. And your friends need Jesus, not because there's something missing in their life, but because they need a Savior to save them from God's wrath that's coming. That's why they need Jesus. The happy ones need Jesus. The sad ones need Jesus. The rich ones and the poor ones need Jesus. They need him to save them from God's wrath. And you know, you said you share the gospel with your friends. It's because you care about them, don't you?
Yes.
Well, do you care about your neighbors and other people you don't even know?
Yeah, I care about them, but I don't know their situation. I'm not around them enough to know, like, if they need help or not.
Well, they don't need help. They need a Savior. They need someone who can save them from God's wrath and save them from hell. They don't need Jesus because something's missing in their life. They need Jesus because they've sinned against God. They need to be saved from God's justice. That's why Jesus died, not to give us a fulfilling, happy life, but to save us from God's wrath. Here's another question for you, and I think Trish may have asked you this. Have you been to movies with blasphemy in them?
Yes, sir.
So how does it make you feel when you hear God's name blasphemed or the name of Jesus used in blasphemy?
I get kind of offended sometimes because people don't realize what they're doing. Like,
okay.
I know they'll think it's just a movie, but really, there's no excuse for doing that.
Okay, but you still stay in the movie, huh?
Yeah, I just try to ignore it because I know they're not doing that on purpose. They're just trying to entertain people.
Okay, but now, if a producer wrote your mother's name into a movie and used your mother's name as a filthy cuss word, would that offend you?
Yes, it would. Probably the same amount as they use God's name in vain.
So you'd sit there and watch it and not leave the movie because you're enjoying the story?
Well, I would just ignore it and I would know that they didn't mean anything by it, but...
You know what I'd be? I'd be so angry if anyone used my mum's name as a cuss word. Give some serious thought to that. Do you read the Bible every day, Chase?
Not every day, but whenever I'm having troubles and I'm feeling pretty bad, I do. I'll pull out the Bible and read.
Could you talk to Chase for a minute?
Hey, Chase, how do you do, young man?
Good.
Are you born again, did you say?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Hey, you've got a girlfriend, I understand. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, if let's just say that you called her, I don't know, 66 times, and she only answered or returned the phone call when she needed something from you, how would you feel?
Oh, man. Pretty sad.
You know, the Bible has 66 books in it that God took the time at great length to put together just for you. And if you only dive into it when you need something or you're going through a rough time, do you think it would be fair to wonder how you feel about God on a regular basis?
Yeah.
Chase, do you explain to me what it means to be born again?
Being born again is really just like a realization of what Jesus has done for you and that you need to kind of get your act together or, you know, like you weren't in Jesus's, like you weren't living through Jesus's name. And like once you're born again, you're living through his life, like you're living for Jesus and that's what I think that being born again is.
Dude, I don't want to be hard on you. You sound like a nice young man. I want to make sure you're going to go to heaven when you die, okay?
Okay.
You left a couple of things out of there. It's not only just recognizing that you need to get your act together. It's first of all, you can't get your act together. That's kind of the whole problem. And it's not just so much about what Jesus did. It's also about who I am. And the best thing that we can do is use the tool that God has given so that we can understand who we are in his sight. A fellow named Martin Luther said that the Ten Commandments is like a mirror, and you can stare right into that mirror to see how God sees you. And when you do that, you recognize, oh, I have been foul. I have For instance, Chase, have you ever had a sexual thought about a girl?
Yes.
Yeah. Have you maybe been physically, you've gone too far perhaps with your girlfriend?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Jesus sees that as adultery of the heart. Have you ever casually used God's name yourself?
Yes, I have.
That's blasphemy. Have you ever been angry at somebody? Just torqued at them because they're a rotten driver or they're just a jerk?
Yeah.
The Bible says that God sees us as a murderer at heart. Chase, here's why this is so important. The way to be born again is to die. Not to kill yourself, but to stare into that mirror, and it will kill you. It'll bring you to the point where you go, oh, God, I'm afraid. If you give to me what I deserve, you should send me straight to hell. And when you start to shake and tremble, when you die to yourself, you look at the cross where Jesus died, despite the fact that he knew you'd do those things, being the most kind entity ever, and you just die to yourself, and you come to him lowly, and you say, God, have mercy on me. Please forgive me. I put my trust in the Savior. Help me. Save me. And he says he will make you born again. Chase, last question. Have you died to yourself so that God can make you born again yet?
No, sir.
All right. Dude, you know what you need to do today then, right?
Yeah, I do.
Thanks for listening to us.
All right, thank you.
This is Wretched Radio. Forget the power of cheese, the power of the ultrasound.
Darlene came to our clinic. She's accompanied by her boyfriend. She just came from Planned Parenthood, but they were unable to provide an ultrasound because they charged for them, and she probably didn't have the money. When she's in the counseling room, apart from her boyfriend, she says that the relationship with the baby's father was probably going to end anyway. So she wanted to abort, presented the gospel. She politely declined the gospel. We gave her an ultrasound, and she walked out the door, still abortion-minded, with the ultrasound picture in hand. We made another call for her a couple days later, and she said, you know, I can't come in, but do you know where I can get some prenatal vitamins? And she had chose life.
One ultrasound, $28. $28, one life. How many ultrasounds could you provide through preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Road Trip to Truth with our host John Fabares is Wretched's next TV series. 26 episodes that go right into the lion's den, secular university campuses. See, we want to reach this generation with this TV show aimed directly at millennials. And this program will also share the gospel with millions. Millions. It's only because of your support of Wretched that allows us to do what we do here every single day. So if you're already supporting Wretched, thank you very much. We are extremely grateful. If you're not supporting Wretched, would you prayerfully consider giving a tax-deductible gift to Wretched on, say, a monthly basis? Not only would you be helping us keep the lights on, but you'd help us reach this anxious, depressed, and lost generation with the gospel. Visit wretched.org/donate to become a Wretched Gospel Partner and join us on our road trip to truth. That's wretched.org/donate.
If any of you have been looking for a reason to sponsor your very own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe, perhaps this story from Max, the national director in Ukraine, will inspire you to visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Arsene, just 5 years old, escaped his home and came to the camp. His grandmother would not let him. She was cursing all Christians. His grandmother, sadly, passes away. So he kept coming. Not only that, he brought his parents and they repented. So this family gives the house where the grandmother used to live to the church. And that's where the Tomorrow Club meets.
And that story is not a one-off. Families getting saved constantly through the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? 30 disciples, $30 per month. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like sufficiency. The Bible tells us everything we need to know about God, salvation, doctrine, and life. We do not need any additional revelation to know who God is and what He requires of us.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, Ray.
Todd.
Do you remember the Time Changers movie?
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Okay, this is a guy who is a seminary professor who travels from 1890-something to modern times, and he gets taken to a movie. You were talking about blasphemy, and we were just having this conversation about God's name being high and holy, and with reverence we should think of it and speak it. Well, here's the fellow from the 1890s going to a movie in 2007, and he responds.
Stop the movie! You must stop this movie! The man on the screen just blasphemed the name of the Lord! There must be some mistake! You must stop this movie! This is an abomination!
Are you all right?
I still cannot comprehend how they could allow a player on the movie screen to blaspheme the name of the Lord.
It's not that big a deal, Carlisle. It's just a movie.
Yes, but to defame the name of our Lord.
It was a moral film. The guy went back to his wife in the end.
Yes, but to speak so blatantly against the name of Jesus.
Look, buddy, there's a lot worse movies we could have gone to see.
Then perhaps it is better not to attend at all if this is the only selection.
This guy must be one of those legalists thinks all movies are sinful.
Yeah, must be one of those legalistics, eh, Ray?
You know, when he comes out, he comes out, like, it just about makes me weep, but whatever Christians do, weep or cry, because he's so passionate, and that's how we should be. We should be horrified that someone would use God's name, the one who gave us life, as a cuss word.
The question is, as you listen to that clip, was he the wing nut? Or are we, because we endure it, and we sound like those evangelicals saying, hey, pal, it was a moral movie. At least he gets together with his wife at the end. Ooh. One thought, perhaps, that I think is worthy of consideration. Answering this fundamental question, do I, as a Christian, have the fundamental right given by God to view entertainment? Start there. See, I don't think of it as a right. I know that's kind of an American attitude. It's my right. Now, the question is it a right or is it a privilege? And I think it should be something that's a reward, that's an extra, not a daily diet thing, but it's something that's a privilege and not just something we can assume that, well, of course I get to go see whatever I want to and I'll scale it back and filter it through my ears and come up with a system. No, it's a privilege. And if the movie is not godly, it's disqualified and it's no longer accessible.
Right. It's Philippians. Whatsoever things are pure, good report, etc. Think on these things. And if it doesn't fit into that box, don't go and see it. Don't pay them.
Right. I think we've become one of those. Listen. Okay, what? Trisha's out in the street.
That would be a blessing.
She's found a human?
What's your name? Well, any one of you three. You guys are Verizon workers. It looks like you're on a break, right? You got nothing to do. We want to talk to you about spiritual things. What's your name?
I'm Billy.
Well, my name's Trish. Now, really quick, do you have any certain, like, religious background? Oh, he's perfect? Okay, here we go.
All right.
Are you listening in? Are you there?
Oh,
y'all?
Yeah, we're enjoying it completely.
You guys?
Thanks for not swearing.
Okay.
Let's talk to the perfect guy.
Here we go. Passing over.
Ray, have fun.
Hello, this is Billy.
Hey, Billy, my name's Ray. Did I hear you say you're perfect?
They're saying something about me being perfect.
Are you married?
No, I'm not.
Well, if you had a wife, she'd tell me the truth. Hey, Billy, tell me what you believe about God. What do you think happens after somebody dies?
I believe in God. I was raised actually in a Baptist background, so.
Uh-huh. How's your walk with the Lord now? Between 1 and 10, how would you rate yourself? 10 means you're absolutely on fire for God, sharing your faith, reading your Bible daily, etc. 1 means that you couldn't care less. Where would you be between 1 and 10?
Well, it's been quite a few years since I've attended any type of church services, but I'd still rate myself probably in between as a 5.
Interesting. So, have you ever been a Christian? Have you ever given your life to Christ?
Yes, I did, when I was about 12, 13 years old.
And what happened?
I just stopped attending church.
Yeah, did something stop you attending? Like you had a girlfriend and you were...
No, just teenager, I suppose.
Teenager. So where are you going to go? Where are you going to go when you die?
Well, that's a good question. I'd like to know that question, but...
You would like to know that question?
The answer to it.
Yeah, okay, well, we can do that right now. This is, you've only... what have you got? 3 or 4 minutes? 5 minutes? Let's do that. Okay, do you think you're a good person?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, here's the thing that'll help you. Have you ever told a lie?
I've told plenty of lies.
So what do you call someone who tells lies?
What do I call someone? Definitely a liar.
Have you ever stolen something?
It's been a long time.
Yeah, what do you call someone who steals things?
A thief.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes, I have, unfortunately.
Okay, that's called blasphemy. We use God's name as a cuss word. Have you ever been angry without cause? You've just got ticked off at someone and you just got mad at them. Maybe you hated someone. Ever had that experience?
Hate's a bit strong, but...
You've been angry without cause?
I guess you could say so.
Okay, the Bible says you're in danger of judgment if you're angry without cause. And listen to this one, Billy. Jesus said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Yes, I have.
Okay, Billy, this will make it very clear for you. By your own admission, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart. You've got to face God on Judgment Day. If he judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
Well, by your definition right now, I'm guilty.
Well, it's God's definition. Would you go to heaven or hell?
I would hope to go to heaven.
Well, you can't, because the Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. No thief can enter heaven, no blasphemer. Did you know that under God's law, it's death sentence for blasphemy? Did you know that? It's such a serious thing in God's sight to actually use his name as a cuss word. When he lavished his goodness upon you, he gave you life itself, the ability to see and think and taste and enjoy the pleasures of this life, and you've taken his holy name and used it as a cuss word to express disgust. So, very serious. So, that's made it clear for you. If you want to know you're going to heaven, you found out you're not going to heaven. You'll end up in hell if you died today. Does that concern you?
Don't I walk this earth as a sinner, known to be, and ask for forgiveness?
Yeah, but asking God for forgiveness won't help you, and I'll tell you why. If you're in a courtroom and you've committed a very serious crime, and there's a $500,000 fine, and you look at the judge and say, Judge, I'm guilty, but I just want you to forgive me, okay? The judge will say, what
are you talking about? I don't think comparing God to a judge in the court of America is really a good idea.
That's exactly right, because God is far more just, far more strict. And he says, oh, by no means...
And not bounded by a law written in a book. I thought he came to this world and died on the cross for our sins. Is that not true?
Yeah, but you forgot about that. You didn't mention that.
No, I haven't forgot about it. I pray.
Well, listen, this is...
I may not congregate every week, every Sunday, but I do believe in God.
Well, this is what you have to do, Billy. It's not a matter of asking God for forgiveness. I mean, who doesn't do that? We all feel guilty when we do something wrong. We say, God, forgive me. God requires your repentance and faith in him who died on the cross for you. If you're going to jump out of a plane and you had no interest in a parachute and suddenly you saw your danger and turned to me so I could give you a parachute, that turning isn't going to save you, but receiving the parachute and putting it on is. You've got to turn to God in repentance and put your faith in him who suffered and died on the cross for you. He suffered and died for all those sins that you've committed. He took your punishment. He rose again on the third day. And now God can forgive you. He can justify you. He can make you righteous because your faith is in Jesus. Not because of your repentance. Not because of your sorrow. But because you have Christ in your life. His blood will wash you clean of your sins. So, Billy, if you died right now, where would you go?
Well, you're going to put me in hell if you have your sin.
Well, it's not me. This is straight gospel truth. I mean, you can get the Bible and check it out. I wouldn't talk to anyone like this.
I think you've gone over your 5 minutes with me, so I got to get back. I'm at work. So.
Well, Billy, thank you so much for listening to me.
No problem. Thank you.
Make sure you read your Bible and talk to Trish. She'll give you some literature. Thanks, Billy.
Thank you.
Whoa. That was fascinating to me. Ray?
Yes.
Oh, well, you know, I very friendly, very nice, and all of a sudden, this is so common. Somebody who has fashioned an image of God that says, I go to church once every Sunday to appease my image of God, or maybe I don't go for a few years, but I, for the most part, I once in a while do something kind. I'm good to go. And when you dig into somebody who calls themselves a Baptist, a Lutheran, you pick your denomination, and you start to get it being born again. Oh, the ugly comes out.
Well, you probe the wound, and that's when the pain gets felt, and that's when there's reaction.
But what's fascinating about that is this does not need to be a raging, rank heathen, pagan, blasphemer, atheist member. This is somebody who, hey, I go to church, you know, I grew up in the church, and my parents and everything, and you start to dig in and go, hey, if you don't fellowship with, didn't he say he hadn't been to church in years?
And then he said he did.
Oh, okay.
It was kind of confusing.
In case you think that we are being really harsh, 1 John 1, verse 7, if we are living in the light of God's presence, in other words, if you're a Christian, then we have fellowship with each other.
one of the things that proves you're a Christian is that you congregate with other Christians because you like them. And then the First John goes on later to say, not only do you like them, you love them. And the place to find them is in the assembling of the saints. And so this is a sign that you're a Christian. This is not being nitpicky and on this poor Baptist guy. It's a sign that you're saved or not.
It's kind of like, Todd, criminals like fellowshipping with criminals. They don't like hanging out with police officers. Now, police officers have got a common bond that binds them together. They stand for righteousness, and criminals stand for crime. And that really is the issue.
All right, now let this be a lesson to you. If you are ever witnessing to that, it's that person who's gone to church all of his or her life, but you just don't see fruit outside of that 45-minute service on Sunday morning. Prepare yourself for the ugly to come out, because, again, their idol, they might call it Jesus, but it's not the true Savior who demands complete holiness. When you come at them with this law business, just get yourself ready for it. That's all. They can lash out at you just like an atheist can. Just be warned.
This is Wretched Radio.
SOS Ministries wants to see a movement take place within God's church in Uganda. They want to see God-fearing, Christ-proclaiming churches rise up across the country and impact the whole of the Ugandan society. To reach out nationwide, they have the Ministry of Church Strengthening and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. But without the consistent support of God's people, none of this is possible. If you can help support SOS Ministries, go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com.
This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. Wowzers. A 141-page decision last week, U.S. District Judge Myron Thompson dismissed a 2017 lawsuit by Coral Ridge Ministries Media against the Southern Poverty Law Center. Coral Ridge, a Christian broadcasting company, also known as D. James Kennedy Ministries, claims the SPLC caused it to lose donations by labeling it a hate group because of its biblical belief that marriage is between one man and one woman. The SPLC hate map features many Christian organizations, Alliance Defending Freedom, American Family Association, Family Research Council, among them. And being on the hate map can prove costly to ministries. Amazon, for instance, won't allow it or other entities on the SPLC list to receive donations through its Amazon Smile program. Coral Ridge said the hate group designation is false. While it believes homosexual behavior is immoral, it does not hate LGBT individuals. The judge, in a very long-winded ruling, said the term hate group had no generally accepted definition and could not be proved false.
Maybe someone ought to go ahead and define it then.
Without a clear definition of hate group, Coral Ridge can't demonstrate the SPLC defamed it or engaged in false advertising. The judge also rejected a religious discrimination claim against Amazon and said Coral Ridge's hope for remedy lies in the marketplace of ideas, not a defamation action.
What a world, what a world.
A federal court in Maryland dismissing a challenge to a 2018 state law that bans mental health professionals from providing conversion therapy to minors. U.S. District Judge Deborah Chazanow rejected therapist Christopher Doyle's claim that the law violated his First Amendment rights to free speech and free exercise of religion. The law prohibits counseling that attempts to minimize or end unwanted same-sex attraction, and the judge reasoned it does not prevent any form of personal expression by therapists who, quote, remain free to discuss, endorse, criticize, or recommend conversion therapy to their minor clients, but are not free to provide that therapy. Something doesn't quite add up there for me. Doyle, a therapist at Patrick Henry College in Virginia and executive director for the Institute for Healthy Families, counsels minors in the greater Washington, D.C. area, including Maryland. He said therapy helped him end his same-sex attraction, and the minors who seek counseling with him do so voluntarily. And he's had success. Liberty Counsel, representing Doyle, say they will appeal. And a Christian women's homeless shelter in Anchorage, Alaska, wins a permanent victory after the city tried to force it to house a man who identifies as a woman. Anchorage agreed to make permanent a judge's recent injunction protecting Hope Center from being forced to allow the city's non-discrimination laws. As part of the consent decree filed this week, the city will also pay the shelter $100,000 for attorney's fees and other costs. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Books of the Bible. Jude was the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote an epistle to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. He contends for the faith with a passionate and vehement attack against false teachers. When you want to know God's concern for the truth, Jude has 25 intense verses just for you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, Aaron the actor.
Oh, Todd the host.
How are you, dude?
I'm doing good.
Oh, Todd.
Yes, Ray.
I just got to say, I met Aaron's dog on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
It is a cool dog. Seriously, it's one of those nice ones with too much skin.
Oh, where you can just grab it and
yeah, you just grab it. You can pick it up and it stays on the ground.
Got it. What kind is it, Aaron?
It's a chocolate Labrador. And yeah, when you meet her, you don't live with her. It's different. It's a cool dog, but it takes a lot of energy and a lot of exercise to let me sleep at night.
Just tell Aaron that that dog has been sent him by God to prepare him for marriage.
And I'm obviously not ready for marriage.
You're not ready for marriage?
If that's what God's telling me with that dog, I'm not ready for marriage. All right. I'm at Newport Beach at the pier, where the OC is, yeah. And I have a, let me read the front of her. She's out here singing, and it says, broke college student from Chapman University. She's out here singing to get money.
Wow. Is she good?
Yeah, she's actually really good.
All right. Do we know anything spiritual about her?
Yes. She tells me that she's a Christian, and that she's in crossroads of knowing about heaven and hell, and what type of people go to heaven, and what type of people go to hell, and she doesn't know if she has the right one, because maybe Buddhism's right, or Judaism's right. She doesn't really know.
Wow, it sounds like Marcus Borg. Okay, let's have a chat. What's her name?
Her name is Kira.
Kira. Ray, you ready to go?
Kira?
Kira, the singing for her supper type of girl.
Okay.
Alrighty, let's do it, dude.
All right.
Kira, Ray, Kira.
Hello.
Kira, thanks for coming on the program. You're singing for your supper?
I was singing for my education.
Oh, that's great. You know, I've got such a rotten voice. I thought of singing and putting a little bucket out and saying, I'll stop for $2.
I'll pay that.
Oh, no.
Oh, Kira, we've got to hear something. Would you please render us your favorite tune that brings in the most money?
Oh, geez. I can sing a little something if you'd like.
All righty.
Let's see. Somewhere over the rainbow way. There's a land that I heard of once in a lullaby.
Wow, you're good.
Oh, say that's great. So you are trained. You're a trained singer, Kira.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I'm going to Chapman University, so I'm getting my education in music and theater. I'm also an actor.
Oh, so you're not an actress? When I was a kid, we used to say actress and actors.
Well,
have they given up with that now?
I don't know.
Just whatever.
It's one the same, I guess.
Now, tell me what you believe about God and heaven. You think you're going to heaven, Kira?
Oh, I hope so.
It's a huge... Isn't it the biggest question you'll ever ask in your life?
What's It's a huge question.
What's going to happen to me after I die? And, you know, when I was a kid, I'd lay my head on my pillow, and just as a little kid, I'd listen to my heart beat in my ear. Just thump, thump. Thump, thump. And I think to myself, if that stops, I'm dead. Where am I going? Even as a little kid. And I'm sure everybody gets that. And yet so few people want to talk about it. They're too embarrassed to talk about their fear of death and their will to live and what's going to happen if they die.
Well, yeah, it's a difficult question. I think people are embarrassed, and I think people are, they just don't know. You know, they don't know who to believe, what to believe. And there's just so many religions out there, too.
So what do you believe, Kira? You think what do you have to do to go to heaven?
Well, you try to be the best person that you possibly can be, and it's really up to God and His judgment and what He sees, what you do and whatnot, that will depend on if you go to heaven or hell. It's really up to you to do as best as you can, make the best judgments and opinions that you can possibly do to try to stay on God's good side.
Now, are you sure of that philosophy?
Well, I'd like to hope to believe it. You know, I mean, there's lots of religions out there that have...
So you're not... Sounds like you're not 100% sure that that's what you have to do to get to heaven. Do you know what the Bible says? Do you know that it says something different?
Oh, probably not.
You know, the thing that makes it very, very clear is just to look for a few moments at the Ten Commandments. If I was in a foreign country and I was kind of confused, I didn't know which direction to go, probably the best thing I can do is get a reliable road map and study it. And the Bible's a reliable roadmap. It's from God. And just study it for a minute, and it tells you exactly what you have to do to get to heaven. Did you know that?
That's true. That's very true, actually.
Well, shall I tell you what? This is the thing that helped me more than anything else, just a quick look at the Ten Commandments. So what we'll do is we'll go through some of the commandments, and you can make your own judgment as to whether you're going to make it to heaven or not. Do you want to do that?
Okay. Sure.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. You think you're a good person?
Yes.
Okay, have you ever told a lie?
Yes.
Now, what do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen something? Even if it's small, any time in your life.
Probably, even if it's small, nothing big, but probably something small.
Yeah, so what do you call someone who steals things?
A robber.
Yeah, a thief. A robber's about someone who bursts into a bank. Yeah, I don't think you've done that. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
No.
Like, have you ever said geez or anything like that?
Geez, but I'm really good about trying to keep my mouth from saying those things.
So not even once you've used God's name in vain in your life?
Oh, geez, not even once. Probably at least maybe once.
Okay.
Once, twice.
Okay, so... That's called blasphemy, and it's very serious in God's sight when you use his name as a cuss word. It's a violation of the third of the Ten Commandments. Now listen to this one, Kira.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said if you look with lust, you commit adultery in your heart. Have you ever in your life looked at someone with lust?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here we go. Here's the summation, and I'm going to come back to you. By your own admission, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart. You've got to face God on Judgment Day. So here's the question. If God judges you by those Ten Commandments on Judgment Day, do you think you'll be innocent or guilty?
Ooh, doesn't look very good for me right now, does it?
It doesn't. No, it doesn't. But it's good to have these thoughts and confront yourself with this because it's going to happen. So you think you'd be guilty?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
Would you go to heaven or hell?
Ooh, well, I don't know. I'd like to believe I'd go to heaven. I think that, each one of us here on earth have those qualities pretty much in some way, have done them once or twice or many times, so it'd be really hard to say, I guess.
So you think you go to heaven or hell?
Oh, heaven, I hope.
Heaven, you hope. Well, the Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. It says no thief, no blasphemer, no adulterer, no fornicator will inherit the kingdom of God. So if God judges you by those commandments...
Yep, go to hell then.
So you're without hope. So does it concern you that if you died today, you'd end up in hell forever?
Yeah, it would concern me. I think it's a lot of people concerned
Kira,
in the back of their mind.
It's got to concern you. You love your life. You want to live. You don't want for God to give you justice and you end up in hell. So do you know what God did for us so he wouldn't have to go to hell? He did something wonderful.
What's that?
Well, think what you celebrate at Christmas. Unto us this day a Savior is born, and what you celebrate at Easter, that Christ died for our sins, rose again on the third day. God became a human being in Jesus Christ, a perfect sinless man, and gave his life as a sacrifice for the sin of the world. He suffered and died for you. He took the punishment in your place. He was bruised for our iniquities, the Bible says. Remember the Bible verse, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So Christ died for your sins, rose again on the third day, and now what the Bible says you must do is repent. Turn from your sins and trust in the Savior. Now, do you know what repentance means?
Yes.
More than just confessing your sins to God, it's actually turning from them. And the second thing you must do, besides repent, is trust in Jesus, and that's what will save you. You turn from your sins to God and place your faith in the Savior, and that's like turning to a parachute and putting it on. The parachute can save you from the jump that's to come, and Jesus can save you from God's wrath that's to come. So, Kira, when do you think you're going to do that? When do you think you're going to get right with God?
Oh, I can do that today.
Oh, please do it. Todd, come back and talk to Kira for a minute.
Kira, did you understand everything that fellow was saying?
Oh, yes. Very much so.
Yeah. So maybe in your own words, in order for God to forgive you, to be saved, what must you do?
Repent.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Kira.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
We're going to be praying for you today, okay?
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You know what? You've got a beautiful voice. Keep singing. But more than that, please think about what you heard today. It's so important, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, Kira, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, please pray for Kira, because some people maybe are listening and they're jumping through the radio right now going, you didn't lead her in the prayer. Why didn't you lead her in the prayer, Ray?
Oh, because if someone, the analogy I use is that if a man's committed adultery against his wife and his wife's willing to take him back, I don't need to lead him in an apology. I don't need to give him a little card that says, dear wife, and he has to read it. Dear wife, I'm really sorry for committing adultery. I'm really sorry for committing adultery. No, she's not interested in his words. She's interested in his heart. And that's what God wants. And Kira can go to the Lord and just say, God, I've sinned against you. I ask your forgiveness in her own words. And instead of praying with people, I let them pray first, and then I pray for them afterwards. And so that really is just giving her back to God and trusting God to bring her to himself.
Yeah, our soteriology, our salvation theology says God is doing the saving, so if he's busy saving her, she'll know exactly what to do. Pour out her heart to God, put her trust in the Savior, be praying for Kira, because that might very well be going on as we speak. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for being here. Always appreciate that you choose to spend part of your day listening to Wretched Radio. And a big thank you to our gospel partners for Road Trip to Truth, our new video series hosted by John Fabares to reach out to this younger generation is almost ready. Road Trip to Truth heads out on the road, visiting college campuses, talking with the students there about the tough issues that they struggle with, and sharing the gospel with them. It's a great opportunity to help you understand better this younger generation and how to share your faith with them. And it's all thanks to the amazing generosity of our Wretched monthly gospel partners. If you are able, would you consider joining us as a gospel partner? Go to wretched.org/donate for all the details. Because honestly, the more you give, the more we are able to just give away. wretched.org/donate to become a Wretched monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Couldn't say it any better than Michael Woolworth from Bible League International.
The world will drill wells and provide food and shelter. Those are very important causes.
Yes.
We smile favorably upon those. But getting God's word to believers half a world away, people you won't meet this side of eternity, that's on us as God's people.
Ain't nothing wrong with digging a well, but it is only the Christian church that can provide living water. Bible League International for decades, delivering Bibles to believers who have made a profession of faith, believers who have studied the basics of the Christian faith, are then given living water in the Word, a Bible, for just $5 per Bible. You could deliver a Bible to a believer overseas through Bible League International. Might it be possible you could send, say, 6 per month? Please call Bible League at 1-800-YES-WORD.
Well done, you. So far, you have given away 500,000 copies of What Time is Purple. Way to go. See, our goal at Wretched is to give away 1,000,000 copies of What Time is Purple. And hopefully we've made it easy for you. If you pay for shipping and promise to give them away, it's our pleasure to provide you with up to 50 of these evangelistic booklets at no charge. Just go to wretched.org/purple to get your copies. Now, if you or your organization need more than 50 copies, then you email jen@wretched.org. That's J-E-N. jen@wretched.org to make your request, including details, please, on how you plan to distribute them. Now, if you would like to read What Time is Purple and or receive information on how to distribute this booklet, just go to whattimeispurple.com. To get your free copies of What Time is Purple to hand out on our way to 1,000,000, visit wretched.org/purple for your copies today. That's wretched.org/purple.
Know your church fathers. Theophilus of Antioch lived a pagan lifestyle until he was converted by reading the scriptures. His most notable work, Apology, was written to an unbelieving friend to show that the scriptures were self-authenticating and argued that the antiquity, clarity, and consistency of the scriptures prove their divine origin. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's check in with Joey Nicolosi. Dude, where are you?
Yo, I am outside Hamburger Hamlet in Thousand Oaks, and I went into the restaurant. I pulled a guy out of the booth. He was eating a sandwich. His name's Nick. He's 18,
And I asked him what his beliefs are on the afterlife, and he said he doesn't believe in it, and God doesn't exist.
Nothing.
Okay, here we go. Hello?
Nick, how do you do, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm very good. You eating a burger?
No, I just finished it. It tasted very badly.
Really?
Yeah. It's actually a tri-tip sandwich. Disgusting.
I've never heard that term. I don't know what that means.
You don't know what tri-tip is? It's a type of meat.
Oh, a tri-tip. So it's not a hamburger. It was
a sandwich.
It was a sandwich.
Yeah. Satisfying.
Well, you seem to know your meats. So tell me, what are the three tips that are involved in this sandwich?
I'm not sure if it has three tips. I don't know why they call it that.
Yeah. So you're not a member of PETA, clearly.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Do you think that human beings are more valuable than animals?
Yeah.
How do you know this?
Because we're higher in the food chain and we're smarter and we eat animals to stay alive. Unless you're a vegetarian, but vegetarians are...
skinny.
And unhealthy. They need protein.
Yeah,
if you're a vegetarian too long, you start to become a giant you-know-what.
I don't know what, but let's leave it at that. All right.
Okay.
Now you think that we're better than animals.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Do you think one of the things that makes us superior to animals is that we have a sense of morality of right and wrong?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure we have a sense of right and wrong. I mean, there's people killing people all over the world.
Well, that's true, but I still don't know that that doesn't mean that they think that it's right or wrong.
Oh, well, some of them.
Even cannibals, while they might kill somebody and eat them for dinner, they know that it's wrong.
Yeah.
Where do you think that sense comes from?
I don't know. Instinct?
Yeah, so
cavemen? Who knows?
Why don't the animals have it?
I'm not a scientist.
All right. Just wondering.
Yeah.
Do you believe in evolution?
Yeah. Monkeys and stuff?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So why don't monkeys have a sense of morality?
Well, I don't know. They say a lot of monkeys have the brain power of a 4-year-old child, so.
Uh-huh. And you agree with
it? It was on some show. It was on some show on, like, the Discovery Channel. I don't know how credible that is, but I think it's pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. So we are different than monkeys. We have a sense of morality. We're higher than the animals. I want to ask you this question. All right.
All right. Yeah.
Regarding this whole morality and evolution thing.
Yeah.
I would like to suggest to you that everybody has a general sense of morality, and the reason for it is because God put it there.
That's crazy.
Why?
I don't want to offend anybody by what I say, but I don't think God put my sense of morality there.
Why not?
Things happen because they happen.
How do you know?
How do you know that God does them?
Well, but that's not an argument to defend your position. Here's.
But it is, because if you can say that God does it, I can say that God can't.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so I'll bring my proof. You bring yours, okay?
All right.
Where do you think a sense of morality came from?
Huh?
Where did a sense of
evolution over time? People realize that if you keep killing people and you keep doing the wrong thing, the world isn't going to go around. It's not going to work very well.
Well, actually, I would like to argue exactly the opposite. I think that evolution says I should be trying to kill people and I shouldn't be having babies because they're competition for food, because I'm in this for me and it's all about natural selection, baby, and it's survival of the fittest. And if I can take you down, I've got a better chance of surviving.
Yeah, but I think humans have realized that they don't need to take down other humans in order to survive.
Ah, so we've evolved further than others.
We're not cavemen anymore.
Okay, so how did we do that? How did the evolution of morality happen?
Again, I'm not a scientist.
Okay.
I really couldn't tell
you.
So
you don't have an explanation. I do. God put it in your brain.
Oh, God put it in my brain.
Yeah.
You can explain that.
Yeah, because that's why everybody has the same sense of morality. No, but I've read a lot about them, and I've read their stuff. It's very good.
I've read a lot of National Geographic.
Well, okay. But morality is universal, Nick, and that's
one
of the reasons that we go, huh, that's, if nothing else, a stunning coincidence that should cause us to go, what's up with that?
You're right.
Okay. See, here's...
I don't know why I didn't see it before.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm here. So here's another thing that I think that I've got an explanation for that you don't.
Hit me.
Why do we exist at all, Nick?
Why do we exist at all?
Yeah.
It's called the Big Bang.
But that has what's the teleology? What's the purpose? Why does any of this exist?
Why does it exist?
Yeah.
Well, you tell me why you think it exists.
Okay, I'm gonna share I'm gonna summarize your theory, and I'm gonna summarize my theory. And on the surface, they both sound kind of silly. Okay, here we go. Your theory is nothing became something, it blew up, and it became an organized everything.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of silly to me.
Here.
Here's my theory. I'm a Christian.
I believe
that something created everything out of nothing.
Created everything out of nothing.
Yeah, and that sounds kind of...
Well, how do you create everything out of nothing?
Because you're God and you're all-powerful and you can do that.
You're God and you're all-powerful and you can do that. That sounds kind of like tyranny.
Well, may or may not be. You might not like the way he does business, but if it's his place, he can do what he wants. Now, here's the difference, though, between your theory and mine, Nick. I have an explanation that makes my theory make sense.
All right, let me have it.
Here it is. God put you on this earth as his representative so that you can glorify him forever.
I'm God's representative to glorify him.
Yeah, you were made in his image and likeness. And here's the whole explanation for why we're here. Ready?
If there's someone in the planet that is not God's representative, it's me.
Yeah, well, you're a bad representative, but you're a representative nonetheless.
I'm not a representative. That doesn't even make sense. Is someone from Pepsi a representative of Coke because they have the same type of product?
Yep.
And they're just bad representatives?
Mm-hmm. No. The analogy kind of breaks down a little bit, but here's, if just because you're not doing your job well doesn't mean that's not your job.
Well, tell God I don't want his job, and I quit.
Well, you've already done that, if you will. Now, the question would be, if you've done that, if God exists and he's the boss, if this exists, if what I'm saying to you is accurate, and you have to meet him someday for a job performance review, so he'd be unhappy with you, correct?
Yes, he'd be very unhappy with me
because
if I had to meet him.
Yeah, because as his representative, every time you told a lie, you basically said to the world, God's a liar.
I don't want to represent him.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You're just not doing your job.
There's no one to represent, man.
That's your opinion on that, but the question is it true or not? So here's another one, for instance, Nick. Have you ever looked at pornography?
Oh, yeah, I have.
Yeah. So basically, in doing your job as God's representative, you told the world that God is smutty and he's a pornographer because you're his representative on earth.
Are you calling me smutty?
Well, what is it, looking at pornography?
Well, I wouldn't call myself smutty. That's offensive.
What would you call it?
I like to look at porn.
Is it a wholesome activity?
Sometimes.
Would you do it with your mother sitting in the room?
Huh?
Would you do it with your mother sitting in the room?
Not unless you want to see it.
Yeah, because it's smutty.
Well, I don't appreciate being called smutty, sir. So if we could use another term, that'd be excellent.
All right, then why don't you tell me what that activity is so I don't offend you?
That activity is a hobby. Okay. How about that? Just, it's hobby-like.
Okay. So
okay, thank you.
Basically what you've said to the world is, that's God's hobby.
Maybe it is. I've never met him.
Yeah. Well, it's not.
Oh, so, well, have you talked to him?
Read his book.
Oh, you read, what book is that?
The Bible.
Oh, the Bible.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. God doesn't do stuff like that. In fact, he
God,
forbids
God doesn't
it.
Look at porn?
No, in fact, check this out. You'll love this.
I will love this.
Jesus said that if you just look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart.
Oh, so Jesus said that.
Yes.
Hey,
so would it be fair to say that Jesus said
lust,
that you're an adulterer?
It's bad.
So would it be fair to say that Jesus calls you an adulterer at heart? Is that okay?
Well, I don't think Jesus calls me anything because he's fake.
Because what?
Because he's fake.
Oh, he's fake.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's what the Bible says. So don't want to use the smutty word, but Jesus would say that you're an adulterer at heart.
Well, then I guess I won't be seeing Jesus in the so-called afterlife, will I?
Well, be
hanging out in that hot place down below.
Well, that's what the Bible says, that liars will have their part in a lake of fire, all fornicators, blasphemers.
Am I going to hell?
Well, what do you think God should do with you?
Well, God's probably not going to do anything with me because I know where I'm already going to end up.
Where's that?
In a box 6 feet below the ground covered in worms.
Worm food, eh?
Yep.
Okay, so if your conscience, though, which should be alarming you to say, yeah, okay, there might be a supreme being out there and there's a creation. Boy, there's probably a creator out there. Makes an awful lot of sense instead of being just worm food. If this God exists and he judged you, and he knew that you looked at porn. He knew that you've told lies. He knows that you dishonored your parents. Have you ever taken his name in vain?
What? So like saying Jesus
Yeah. That would be the one. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I've done that.
Yeah.
I just did it.
Yeah, that's blasphemy. So what do you think God should do with you if he exists?
Huh?
What should God do with you if he exists?
Strike me with lightning and send me to hell.
There you go. That's exactly what the Bible says. So you're right in alignment with the Bible.
Well, I've yet to be struck by lightning and sent to hell, so where's God?
Not yet. But the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, then judgment. And I don't know if he's going to strike you with lightning, but the Bible says that liars, thieves, blasphemers, fornicators, adulterers will have their part in a lake of fire. Dude, listen, we got to wrap up the conversation. But if nothing else, we've discovered something kind of interesting. At least you agree with what the Bible says. If it's true, your part would be in a lake of fire.
Well, I guess so.
All right, dude, thanks for the chat. I appreciate it very much.
Until next time, go serve your king.